This hour of Kevin Miller in the Morning is brought to you by Tway Travel, your adventure travel specialists. Fighting for America.
The federal agents informed the crowd that if they kept advancing, they would open fire on the crowd.
It was scary to think that shots could be fired. It definitely was scary. Everyone was thinking, could this be another Ruby Ridge? Could this be another Waco?
Fighting for Idaho.
We're starting to realize that we have a government with unlimited power.
The BLM come to decimate us and to reduce us to absolute despotism.
Fighting for you.
More than Kevin, I just wanted to take an opportunity to thank you for real journalism.
Kevin, I just wanted to thank you for going to Nevada and getting the truth to us.
Boise's Mr. Right, Kevin Miller in the Morning.
You're the only talk show that I really listen to.
On 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station. Win cash right now. Call 877-854-WINS. That's 877-854-9467. The 25th nationwide caller wins $1,000 on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Now you know what I was trying to do last hour, if you were listening while we were trying to do this. I got the hours mixed up, so congratulations, good luck, and may the force be with you. You know, yesterday was, what was it, International Star Wars Day? And I don't know what that actually means, but anyway. Good morning, Kevin Miller with you here at 580-5436, Kevin at KIDOAM.com. As we get ready for Dave Petzl, a lot of big news of the day that we are talking about as people get ready. What is today? I guess today is Cinco de Mayo. And you have a lot of people yapping about, oh, it's a party and such. And for me, I'm more of a Fourth of July kind of guy. So we'll talk a little bit about that coming up. Plus the move to save the A-10. The governor saying that the platform is going to be leaving. Why not bring in the F-35s? I don't know if that's the way to play it, but we'll talk a little bit about that. And really, just how much influence does the Idaho delegation have when we're talking about saving the A-10, and can we make that happen? Wouldn't it be nice if we could just make something happen, like save some jobs, and not just say like, but actually make a real difference? And if you missed it Saturday, it was the big White House Correspondents' Dinner.
These days, the House Republicans actually give John Boehner a harder time than they give me, which means orange really is the new black.
Whatever that means. But anyway, Dave Petzl's with us now to offer analysis on the president's speech. What do you make of that?
I don't have any analysis. Talk about springing that one on me. I'm a financial guy. Come on.
Well, green. There was no green. You want to be in the black and not in the red.
Yeah. Well, Kevin, you and I have talked about this before. He has no concept of business. And anytime he tries to delve into a business discussion, it's foolishness. I mean, he acts more foolish than he clarifies a point. So he should just absolutely have somebody in the White House that has some business background to speak for him.
One would hope. So let's take a look at the week that was, the week that will be in the markets. What's going on?
Well, last week we had this huge mixed bag. I mean, really, we had a jobs report that's better than expected. The headline numbers are fantastic. But the headline numbers, you don't have to dig very far to find out that more jobs were lost, meaning more people left the workforce than jobs were created. That's not really a robust situation, although the jobs report was better than expected, and we don't want to completely diminish the positive there. It is disconcerting that our workforce participation is back to Jimmy Carter days, and it is. It's clear back to the lows of 40 years ago when we had the lowest workforce participation. It's absolutely horrifying, and that's back in a day when not that many women worked, right? So it is a particularly troubling jobs number when we dig through, which is why interest rates declined last week. So usually when you have this really great jobs number, you're going to see interest rates spike a little bit, right? Because we're worried about inflation if you're a bond guy. Interest rates rising when the economy is good. they actually declined this past week. And on top of that, then the day before the jobs numbers came out, we came out with 0.1 GDP growth, 0.1. Now, since GDP, we would hope in a robust, not even a robust, but an okay market situation, economic situation, would be 2.5, maybe 3% growth. 0.1 is devastatingly low. It's really low. So big concern right now, what's really going on with the economic numbers.
Dave Pitzel with us, Kevin Miller, 580 KIDO. You know, we delve deeper into the economic numbers, and you and I talked about this on Saturday in our Saturday morning Kibble segment. And you take a look at the numbers among blacks, African Americans, Hispanics, among teenagers, and the numbers are double or even triple what we're seeing at the ordinary level. And this is the constituency that brought the president to office and reelected him.
Yep. Yeah, it is.
What does that say?
It says these kids need a better education. Apparently, they're pretty wrong-headed about what is going to... I don't know what it says, Kevin, except for ignorance. It's really something. The very people that are the most hurt are the people that are voting them in. I think it's just, you know, youth, sometimes it's just all about touchy-feely. If you say, you know, you want to help the poor rather than actually helping them, that's more important than actually helping them.
Right.
So people are, yeah, you and I were there too. You know, we thought we knew a lot. We're pretty dumb. But it is probably a big eye-opener for people that things aren't getting better. They're getting worse. In their particular segments, they're getting absolutely devastating. The minority numbers, especially young minorities, blacks, Hispanics, for working are just terrible, Kevin. They're just horrifying. And yet you have several minorities that are in key positions, including the President of the United States. You would think we would have some, you know, as much help as you could possibly have to change those numbers to be a positive force out there, an encouragement that things can change. Instead, we just simply have bigger handouts and more enslaved people.
Dave Pitzel with us, Kevin Miller in the morning. Let's take a look at the president's renewed push to make the national minimum wage to $10.10 an hour.
Yeah.
First off, your thoughts.
He's got nothing else to talk about, so he's going to push on something that seems to have some political backing with his base. Is he the green president? Well, I don't know. I suppose he's kind of green. Is he the economic recovery president? No. Is he the jobs president? No.
But you could say, look, he has radically transformed the country with Obamacare, with Don't Ask, Don't Tell, culturally, socially, and one could argue economically with Obamacare. He will be the Lyndon Baines Johnson, the Franklin Delano Roosevelt of our lifetime.
Well, perhaps. However, I think it's going to be more like the Jimmy Carter of our time, where, yes, he changed things.
Hold on. I'm with you.
I understand.
I'm with you. But we had people like you and others that would stand up, and now you hear Republicans saying that Obamacare is here to stay. Belly up, everybody.
By rule of law, some aspects of it probably are here to stay. It's devastating. It's devastating to the economy. It's done wrong, and it doesn't make any difference to this president whether it's done wrong or done right. It's his plan, and he's, by God, going to see it through, which is really the silly part of it, the weird part of it to me. When people try to define who Obama is, I find it all over the board. He's a socialist. He's an anti-American. He's a Muslim or whatever, made up as if we can put him in a box kind of person. He's obviously a very complicated person. I'm not sure he has any idea because he seems to be rudderless. He seems to float from one thing to the next. So it makes it very difficult to put him in a box. The one thing we can say is that he wants Obamacare, period, whether it works or doesn't work, and he's not willing to come up with any ideas to try to smooth it over and make it work better, which is really weird to me. So I don't have any idea what kind of a person is like that, but so I think it's hard to put him in a box, Kevin.
See, but
I
go back to, if you've ever seen 2016 Obama's America, Dinesh D'Souza does such a great job of talking about his anti-American views that we've seen. And we're talking economics here, not politics, but back to the president's political push for the minimum wage.
Yeah.
Your response. And again, bad on me for diverting you. So
I'll take the hit. Look, I think you have to back it up, though, to a basic point. Why is he talking about this? What's so important about it now? And the answer is he's got absolutely nothing, because he's not talked about anything or accomplished anything except a program that everybody hates. So I think it's all important to put it in that context. Why now? Why minimum wage? Because he thinks he's got something to run with his base, and can hurt the Republicans heading into the midterm, because he's got to go on the offense. There is nothing there except them playing defense all the way through. We want Obamacare. We want the Frank Dodd Act, which is not even half written yet, by the way. As imposing as that is on business now, it's not even half done. And that's the crazy part. We're going to shut down the coal mines. We have the EPA. You know, I can't do it illegally, so I'll have administratively the EPA shut it down. There's nothing but negative. We're not going to drill anywhere. We're not going to do Keystone. We're not going to do any of this stuff that would create jobs. So let me talk about something that seems to work with young people. The minimum wage. Now, from an economic perspective,
right,
it's just dumb, dumb, dumb. No, it doesn't work. It's dumb.
Right. At 580KIDO, Kevin Miller in the Morning with Dave Petzos. So let's get to what we have. A lot of people, a lot of local businesses that listen here and that you know, give me their feedback. So if all of a sudden the minimum wage in Idaho at $7.25 went to $10.10 an hour, what would be the impact?
Well, I think you would find it on the margin, you would find more, less hiring. On the margin. Do I think it's going to mean all the businesses shut down? Of course not. But on the margin, people are going to have to figure out how to do more tasks with fewer people, and they're going to have to do those tasks themselves instead of hiring people to do it. And as far as the startup jobs, I don't know what's going to happen. I think you would end up with some of the drive-ins and things like that, some of the startup jobs, McDonald's, what have you, would simply have to close up, because the reality is those places are operate on tight margins anyway. You start taking starting positions and not being able to pay a low starting wage, then I think you have competitive pressures that are going to close up some of those shops.
See, that's would be my fear, that all of a sudden you have people getting a much needed raise, but then you're going to have the cost of goods going up to compensate for this.
Right.
Isn't that what would happen?
Well, you would think, but then at the same time, people would not go and get a cheap hamburger because there isn't a cheap hamburger. If we're going to go get fast food, I want it to be either A, decent and I'm willing to pay for it, or B, it's cheap and convenient and I can go and do that. So I can get a 59-cent taco, or I can go to Chipotle's and I'm going to pay, you know, $4 or whatever the number is, but it's going to be a high quality, a bigger one, what have you. I make that distinction as a consumer. But if I'm forced to tell Taco Bell that they have to pay everybody more money, and then the 59-cent taco becomes 89 cents, I think it forces them out of business.
More coming up with our great friend Dave Petzo talking money here. Kevin Miller in the Morning, 580KIDO, currently 51, and not wet yet. Anyway, let's get you to traffic and weather at 580.
Dave Ramsey, weekdays noon till 3 on 580KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
KIDO, that he is, the money man. We're not talking Ted DiBiase, we're talking Dave Petzo. As we roll along here at 580KIDO, let's go to our friend Eric in Cuna that wants to talk minimum wage at 580KIDO. Good morning, Eric.
Hey, good morning. Yeah, you know, I think really that our dear president probably doesn't really care about the minimum wage so much as he cares more about people fighting about it. But if the minimum wage does go up, I mean, we know what it's going to do. It's going to cause people to go up, businesses to go out of businesses, and cause prices to go up. But in reality, I just think it's another divisive thing to fight about.
So yeah. So you're thinking it's just a political game?
I think coming from the president, it's a political game. Yeah.
Dave?
Yeah, there's no doubt it is. I mean, there's no basis of economic fact here, and there's absolutely nothing else for the Democrats to talk about. There just is not. And so to me, it's a deflection of the realities of how bad the economy is, how many jobs have been lost, how poor Obama's vision, if there was one, of hope and change is going. And so now he's got to come up with something new because his big signature, Obamacare, is not popular at all.
Yeah, exactly. I totally agree with that. You know, I mean, actually local states, I mean, actual local areas should kind of dictate the minimum wage in some way, you know. I don't know how that would be, but...
Well, that's how they're doing it now.
Yeah. I mean, in some way, that's already now. Raising it to $15 an hour, I don't know what he's thinking. I don't even think he's ever had an hourly job. I don't think he's ever had a job, in fact.
Actually, I don't think he has. I think you're correct.
This is his first job. President. Can you imagine that?
Senator. President. Yeah.
Yeah.
He's never worked in the workforce, for sure.
Thanks for getting me on, guys.
All right.
Thank you. 580-5436, 580-KIDO. Kevin Miller here with Dave Petzo as we move along. So the Target CEO steps down because of the security breach. Did the buck stop with him, or was that necessary? I mean, was he really the fall guy for this?
Well,
should it be the tech people?
Apparently, it probably was the tech people too. Seriously, but ultimately, the CEO, just like the coach, the head coach is out, not the quarterback coach because they can't get the football moved down the field. It's not the halfback coach that goes; it's the coach. And maybe, you know, along the line, he's trying new people in those slots, but ultimately that person has to go. I think it shows that there are some boards out there that are very active. I'm not saying it's a right decision. It's a power decision for a board, and the CEO is not calling the shots. And I find that good because a corporate board should be an oversight board, not just kowtowing to whatever the CEO wants. And so when we get a situation like that, to me, it says there are companies out there with real corporate governance. We're not in the boardroom. We don't know what happened. We don't know if he got in a fight with them at some point. It appears that way because there is no transition. Or he said, you know, it isn't my fault, and I'm not taking the hit anymore. I don't know what happened. And anything out there is raw speculation as to what happened, except to say this. This is unusual. Corporations usually don't do it this way. And they were not happy with his circumstances, and somebody in the tech department did not take the fall. The CEO did, and they're moving forward.
Dave Petzo with us here at 580KIDO. Before I have my 27 other questions, we go to Zach in Meridian at 580KIDO about the minimum wage. Good morning, Zach.
Hey, how you doing?
Good. Go ahead, please.
Hey, I own a business over in Fruitland. And a couple months ago, a New York Times writer from Seattle came and interviewed a bunch of business owners. And they were talking about people that live on the border, because Oregon has a big minimum wage and Idaho's is a couple dollars less. And what I learned from that interview by talking to the guy is that less than 1% of people that work for minimum wage actually have to support a family on that. Most people that work minimum wage are high school kids, part-time jobs, second or third jobs.
It's a starter job.
Minimum wage, what's that?
It's a starter job. It was never designed to be supportive of a family.
And it's not really affecting the core of the workforce out there. It's just extra work for people or people that are 16, 17 years old and don't have any other skills anyways.
That's right. It's also one of those things for people that are actually supporting a family is quite a mismeasurement. Think about those people that really the bulk of what they make comes from tips. Okay?
Yeah.
Well, they're counted in that. They have a minimum wage job. That's not true at all. It's not true at all that they have a minimum wage job. They have a much higher paid job. There are people that at good restaurants that are very good at what they do, very skilled at what they do, that make good wages. They don't make minimum wage, but they're counted in that system as well. And so for those people that aren't, it's simply a starting point. I don't even understand the argument, frankly, I need a job, you got a job, good. And as long as people aren't enslaved,
the argument, Dave, is it's a livable wage.
But, Kevin, as this caller points out here, Zach points out, it's a very good point. Very few people, this is actually for a family. It's a starter.
But it's all emotion. It's not fact.
Correct.
And this writer was pro raising the minimum wage, and he admittedly told me, less than 1% are actually trying to make a living off that wage.
Right. It's a starter, and
so
people.
It's
people,
a non-factor in that argument.
Well, it is, and it should be, though. But people should be just. This is how I got started, and many other people, everybody I know, right? We just started working. We just started working, and we didn't even know what the minimum wage was. We were just happy to get $2 an hour. You know, you think, well, that's in the Stone Age, but it was. But that's what we got.
Well, let's hear what the president has to say about jobs and the minimum wage.
So far this year, Republicans in Congress have blocked or voted down every serious idea to create jobs and strengthen the middle class.
There you have it. Of course, the erosion of the middle class has been accelerated under his administration.
Yes, but that's because the Republicans blocked whatever it was he was going to do to strengthen
the minimum wage,
according
increase.
To him. Yeah.
Hey, Zach, thank you for the call.
Thanks, Zach.
Dave Petzl with us, 580 KIDO. Anything we should be looking out for this week?
No, there isn't anything. As far as the economic reports go, it dries up right after the jobs report. There's just not a lot right now. Earnings have come through just fine. I think we're going to go into a pretty quiet period here. And of course, those are the periods that surprise us. So come Saturday when we talk, Kevin, well, I'll have something to share with you that was a surprise this week. How's that?
I hope you do, because you've got 2 hours to talk about it.
That's right. Exactly. Exactly.
All right, Dave Petzl, Petzl Financial, the Petzl Center. Now on Facebook, give him a like, Petzl Financial on Facebook. Kevin Miller, 580KIDO.
Stood in Idaho, what they've got with Kevin Miller.
They would all tune in.
Yes, good morning, Kevin. I love your show, by the way.
Good morning, Kevin. You have a great show. You got a great bunch of guests on.
Good morning, Kevin. You're doing fantastic.
So there's a lot of people out here appreciate your show and appreciate what you do.
Let's get it started.
Giving Idaho a reason to get out of bed. Kevin Miller in the morning on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Let's get it started.
580 KIDO, K. Miller in the morning, getting it started. Hey, by the way, keep it here for your chance to win $1,000 a day at 580 KIDO. Let's see, when is the next opportunity for you to win? I believe that will be during the Dave Ramsey Experience. The Dave Ramsey Experience, when you hear the cue to call, be the 25th caller, and you can win $1,000 here just by tuning in. So our little way of saying thank you. The president talking about the minimum wage, which we talked about with Dave Petzl. We can continue on with that. At 580-5436, Kevin at KIDOAM.com. Obviously, the president is looking for something. The president is looking for some type of hook, if you will, and you talk to local business folks, you talk to local people that have to make payrolls and everything else, and they're not too fond of this. And as we've seen with the president, and one day we're just going to have Dave Petzl in here for 27 hours and get his thoughts on how in the world a guy like the president of the United States is so anti-business, yet you've seen the stock market have enormous success under the Obama administration. I don't know how that works, but it is something that's happening. There are a lot of people that are making a lot of money back that they lost because of the big dip. Anyway, speaking of dips, we'll get back to this at 580-5436, Kevin at KIDOAM.com. But as your community voice each and every morning, I have to ask you, how serious do you think that our elected officials take their civic duty to us?
Tonight will be both amusing and over quickly, just like Chris Christie's presidential bid. I got a lot of these tonight, so buckle up, Governor Christie. Excuse me, extender buckle up. Good evening, Mr. President, or as Paul Ryan refers to you, yet another inner city minority relying on the federal government to feed and house your family. Hillary Clinton has a lot going for her as a candidate. She has experience, she's a natural leader, and as our first female president, we could pay her 30% less.
I am happy to be here, even though I am a little jet-lagged from my trip to Malaysia. The lengths we have to go to get CNN coverage these days.
Let's face it, Fox, you'll miss me when I'm gone. It will be harder to convince the American people that Hillary was born in Kenya.
Just last month, a wonderful story. An American won the Boston Marathon for the first time in 30 years. Which was inspiring. and only fair since a Kenyan has been president for the last six.
Yeah, a telling tribute there, because what are they doing? They're laughing at us. And if you go back to Dinesh D'Souza's biography, his documentary about the president, 2016 Obama's America, this is the world that we're living in today. What would happen, and here, and I know the Boise rabble-rouser is going to go, Kevin, you are a truther, but they're laughing at us. And what would happen if it were true? How many of you believe that there are still some unanswered questions? And I know that if we did this show in liberal bedrocks like San Francisco or Las Vegas or where the libs run wild and free, let's face it, people would be outraged. Just get over it. But could you imagine? Could you imagine at 580-5436, Kevin at KIDOAM.com, if it's true? And not only has the press and the administration hoodwinked us because everybody's afraid to be controversial, everybody is afraid to tell the truth these days, unless you're going after somebody who is conservative or used to be conservative, then it's open season. But nobody wants to be controversial. We take a look at our friend Dominic, who's running for office. They just did a big story on him, Channel 7. And he's running in, what is it, District House Seat 18B. And here he is, the first openly gay Republican. And I knew he would get national attention. And you've got BuzzFeed, you've got Channel 7 doing things. And people say, well, you know, live and let live. But really, is his openness going to cost him his seat? And I'll tell you, I take a look at things. I think that you need to keep your personal habits to yourself. But no one will do the tough reporting anymore. And again, here you have it. Clive and Bundy, that situation. Everybody shied away. You know who went out there with Clive and Bundy? Kevin Miller. And I've had people that have promoted this program for years, nationally, from New York, from Los Angeles, shying away from it just because we went out there to interview someone. So no wonder the president is feeling very confident, because at the local, state, and national level, no one wants to be polarizing. No one wants to be controversial. No one wants to fight for the truth anymore. You take a look at what Cheryl Atkinson said and why she got run from CBS, because she wanted the answers to Fast and Furious. The fact that the administration has been caught, thanks to our friends at Judicial Watch, with emails saying to turn this into a political argument, to turn this into the lies. And that then you have David Plouffe and others sitting there going, oh, go ahead and talk about Benghazi all you want, because let's face it, people don't care. Well, I think there are a lot of Americans that care. I think there are a lot of Americans that sit back and think to themselves, we let four Americans die. And yet, instead of addressing the situation, as the Republicans did in the 70s under Richard Nixon, you have this.
There's a very loud, delusional minority that's driving our politics, that's in control of the Republican Party. There's no conspiracy here at all.
Loud, delusional. Are you loud and delusional? Are you loud and delusional that you care about what happened to Ambassador Stevens and the other Americans? But that's what they're doing. And of course they can make jokes on that.
I would say to anybody who believes that this is just about politics, go tell that to the family members. Go explain to the family members how it's okay for the White House to withhold information from the Congress and the American people.
I am confident that what the Republicans allege
that there was some attempt by this administration to cover up or spin what happened is 100% false.
That's Maria Harf. And look, you have Lindsey Graham saying, tell that to the families and tell that to the American public, and let you have David Plouffe saying that you're delusional for wanting answers to why those Americans died. 580-5436, Kevin at KIDOAM.com. Is Benghazi important to you? Finding the truth. And we know we have the emails, and we're efforting very much so to get Judicial Watch on. So, in fact, we can ask them. They were the ones that found it. It wasn't Congress. It was Judicial Watch that found the email that said, make this political. Make it political. Make it stick. We don't really care about the Americans that died. It was because of the video. We know now that was a lie. And instead of addressing the situation, as the Republicans did under Richard Nixon...
I am confident that what the Republicans allege, that there was some attempt by this administration to cover up or spin what happened, is 100%
false. 100%
false.
Think about that at 580-5436. Kevin at KIDOAM.com. So it comes down to this. Whether or not we will ever get the truth. It's kind of like the Republicans that want your vote all the time and say, we're going to stand up for you. And we saw that locally. How many incumbents that voted for the health exchange have been challenged in the primary? How many should be challenged in the primary? Your answers, your questions next. Kevin Miller, 580-KIDO. Let's get you to work safely and on.
Food for your brain. Kevin Miller, 580-KIDO. Idaho's place to talk.
President Obama is finding that Benghazi is an issue that will not go away.
There's no there there.
We had four dead Americans. Was it because of a protest, or was it because of guys out for a walk one night who decided they'd go kill some Americans?
That was a false narrative from the beginning. It was perpetuated over the course of the time. In my mind, that became a lie. It was never true in Libya. Look at what was happening in real time. And there was nobody that thought that there was a video that was causing a protest in Benghazi. Nobody.
All right, good morning. It is 7:55. Kevin Miller in the morning talking Benghazi and your phone calls. Coming up next hour, we'll hear from our friend Tim Graham of the Media Research Center. But first...
According to the emails and the timeline, sure. The CIA circulates new talking points after they've removed a mention of Al-Qaeda.
Yeah.
And then at 6:21, the White House, you...
Me.
...add a line about the administration warning of September 10th of social media reports calling for demonstrations. True?
I believe so.
Did you also change attacks to demonstrations in the talking points?
Maybe. I don't really remember.
You don't remember?
Dude, this was like 2 years ago. We're still talking about the most mundane process.
Dude, it is the thing that everybody is talking about.
We're talking about the process of editing talking points. That's what bureaucrats do all day long. Your producers edit scripts multiple times.
The key part is attacks to demonstrations.
Yeah.
Did you do that?
No. What is the question? Did I edit attacks?
The CIA talking points... It was edited from attacks to demonstrations.
No, Michael Morales testified about what he changed and what was changed in those emails and the whole process of that.
But the talking points went through the public affairs people.
Yeah,
which is kind of unique.
These are the most well understood and discussed talking points in the history of talking points.
They should be. And again, you have the attitude of the official with the Obama administration that we've been talking about, it seems like forever at 580KIDO, and we haven't talked about it enough. Dude, that was 2 years ago. Maybe it was. And maybe David Plouffe will continue to make fun of us. And maybe we'll never get the answers to the Benghazi situation. But we should. We should know what happened to those four Americans who thought that the cavalry was on its way. And because it was an election year, because the president not only did not lift a finger to help, Just like with the IRS, that we know there was collusion now between the IRS and the Department of Justice that has been revealed. We have no one, no special committee, no independent prosecutor. We just have the White House saying it's all political. And this is how republics fall. When the laws are being ignored and not enforced and not respected, this is how republics fall. And when you talk to your government officials that say, hey, send me back up there, I want four more years, I would ask you to ask them about Benghazi and get in their face and say, no, I don't want the talking points. I want answers. Don't you? Well, not much we can do about it. Why? If you can't do it, maybe we need to get somebody else who will. Quickly to traffic at 580-KIDO. 7:59:52. Coming up, we'll hear from our friend Tim Graham of the Media Research Center. Then we'll get back to our discussion concerning the minimum wage and why in the world is the president all of a sudden championing the raising of the minimum wage? It's a good question. We'll get your answers next. Stay tuned. Kevin Miller, 580-KIDO. Good morning.
Serving Emmett, Idaho.